Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I need to be quick and apologize. I have to run immediately after making my comments to a 10 o'clock meeting up in Spring Valley. I'm Michael Carroll. I'm a professor of law at American University. I'm also on the board of directors of Creative Commons, and I'm here in both capacities. I'll divide my time between the two. So as Professor Carroll, I'd like to start by agreeing wholeheartedly with what Mr. Sherman just said about the value of creating a system by which creators can opt into a system of copyright, and the many benefits of registering that claim to copyright so that licensing and other beneficial transactions can follow. I also want to wholeheartedly endorse the observation made by the prior speakers that one size does not fit all. The motivations for creativity are varied and heterogeneous, and we should take that as a starting point when thinking about any kind of system that would deal with creators. The third point is that copyright is an author's right. And it's one of the definitional constitutional points about the right. We had a publisher's right prior to copyright. And one of the rationales for switching to an author's right is to give the author the ability to choose his or her publisher, his or her means of communicating with the audience. And in a time of expanding digital technologies and expanding opportunities to communicate with the audience, we need to keep in mind the author front and center in mind when thinking about creativity, and understand that publishers reliant on current business models are not proxies for authors. So if one size does not fit all, if we have a heterogeneous set of motivations, then I want to suggest that the quality discussion that we heard before is actually constitutionally illegitimate. I want to propose a principle of copyright neutrality. That is, that copyright, the government principles governing creators cannot be based on aesthetic judgments about which kinds of creators or which kinds of creativity need to be favored. That, in my view, would violate the First Amendment principle of content-based regulation, and that would be a form of content-based regulation because you'd be saying the reason for this particular provision is to favor these particular creators because that's quality music. I just think that's we do not have a Department of Culture. It might be a legitimate form of policymaking in Europe and in other countries, but it is not legitimate in my view. And under the principle of copyright neutrality, then, it's important for this committee to take into account the needs of all the diverse authors out there. And there will be a problem, a research problem. The data concerning the amateurs, the data concerning the varied folks who are not in it for the money, are much harder to get a hold of. But that does not excuse an exercise in which, like the drunk looking under for his keys under the light because that's where the light is, to ignore those creators. They are part of the system. They are benefiting from these digital technologies. And that benefit should not be taken away from them in order to benefit creators in it for the money reliant on a different business model. This principle of copyright neutrality I would push very hard on. I also want to endorse but amend Mr. Sherman's opening remark that you really need to take on the question of, is a property right necessary in order to incentivize some kinds of creation? And it may not be that it's an incentive for creation, but it certainly provides an incentive for certain kinds of investment in dissemination technologies. And those, I would agree that those investments are beneficial to society as a whole and ought to be encouraged. I would not frame the question, though, only is a property right the right government policy. Does the government have to intervene in the market in order to create augment existing incentives? And if so, is a property right the right kind of intervention? To pick up on Professor Akedeji's point, it might be that copyright should, in the internet era, switch from a right to control to a right to get paid. And we should, I would strongly encourage the committee to look at the existing hybrid system we have. We do not have a solely property-based system. We have a number of statutory licenses which would function as the liability rule that was suggested. And indeed, the RIAA in the run-up to the 1976 Act testified in favor of keeping the Section 115 cover license as one of those liability rules that exists. But why not look deeper? Why, for instance, do we have a cable retransmission right that gives cable systems the right to retransmit television programming, but not such a right for YouTube? Why can't we have a YouTube retransmission right? I would encourage the committee to look at questions like that. And it's very important, and I'm worried because the charge says let's look at secondary liability, and there's a lot of pressure built up around that question. And one of the ways to release that pressure, in my view, would be through statutory licensing, especially as we move to cloud-based services, where I believe these kind of licenses might be able to function more efficiently. It doesn't mean that we shouldn't let the market for voluntary licensing be explored, and whether there might be public private partnerships that might more efficiently accomplish the goal. But let's admit that we've already concluded in a number of areas that a government-issued license is the proper policy. So that should be the starting point for the analysis. Now moving on to my Creative Commons hat, Creative Commons is an experiment, and we are producing what data we can about this diverse and heterogeneous creative community. We launched a set of standardized copyright licenses that allow a person who is a creator to say to the world in as simple terms as possible, this is my work, I wish you to be able to use it without payment, to me, subject to certain conditions. And there are six flavors of conditions the author can put on their work. The most open is do anything you want with this as long as you give me credit. The most restrictive is you can only duplicate or republish this work, but you may not make derivative works, and you may only make non-commercial use. So within that range, we have six flavors. The data that we can collect, and I've supplied it to Steve in an email earlier this morning that will be available to the committee, suggests that the experiment is paying off. We didn't know who the market for these licenses would be. It was an intuition that such creators were out there. What we can measure are the people who put their works up on the web and link back to our licenses. That is the sort of way that you choose. And there are well over 300 million links on the web to these licenses. And our qualitative data about where these are coming from suggests that all range of creators have found a use for Creative Commons licenses. We have professional filmmakers, professional songwriters who've adopted them for some of their works. We have a number of amateurs. We have folks who started out being amateurs and have become well-known and have become professionals, so they've moved between the two worlds. I am concerned that any future policy recommendations inhibit the use of these licenses, and we have a machine-readable layer of these licenses. If you go to the website Flickr and put in Flickr/Creative Commons, you will see the machine-readable code being used because the photographs, the more than 150 million photographs on Flickr under a Creative Commons license, are sorted by the license that was chosen. So that if you are you want to make a calendar, and you don't want to have to pay any royalties, you can search only among those photographs where the creator has says, "Just give me credit." I think of that as a kind of use relevance on the web, and I think that copyright is one of the governing terms over use relevance on the web, and we've tried to create our licenses in a way that search engines can search on that basis. And I expect that use of that technology to expand. And I worry that any recommendations about secondary liability that would include automated decisions about copyrighted works being in or out might ignore the data that suggests that these are creators who want their works to be shared, and so that these works ought to pass through any technological gates, whether mandated or voluntary. The only other two things I want to say is, among those diverse creators who want to share their works, we know that one important group are scientists and researchers and scholars who are not paid for their works. So the publicly funded research, which is now subject to contract terms with the author, And the authors agree that by taking government money, they will make their works publicly available. We strongly endorse those policies. My colleague Peter Yazzie, who will be speaking on his own behalf and on behalf of the Association of Research Libraries, will have more to say about that, but I just want to endorse those comments in advance. The other area that is growing, and I want to make you aware of it, is open educational resources. This is a variety of initiatives built around the idea that educational material can be put up on the web and made available to lots of populations who currently, under the current publishing models, have no access to these kinds of materials. These can be anything from a lesson plan to a full-blown textbook, and a number of state governments are now looking into policies where state government will fund the creation of an open textbook released under a Creative Commons license, with the theory that differentiated education requires the ability to adapt, translate, or otherwise republish educational works. So again, I would ask the committee to take that form of funding and creativity in the educational sector as an important fact on the ground that's growing, and make sure that any recommendations about copyright policy take into account that relationship between the government and authors. With that, I think my time's almost up, and so I'll take a few questions if I may, and then head out.